Making my cat happy is my number one priority, and Fresh Step Outstretch litter helps me do just that. Meet Mr. Mittens. Mitty, for short. Mitty is happiest when his litter box is clean and fresh, and Fresh Step Outstretch is amazing at absorbing waste and odor. We sure have found our common ground, haven't we? Happy cat, happy life. Find Fresh Step Outstretch at a store near you. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Hey, friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a friend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between.
Welcome to another episode of The Happy Hour. I hope that you have enjoyed this birthday countdown series that we've been doing on Fridays. If you haven't listened to these Friday episodes, we highly encourage you to go back. We first up have Amy Gayhart, one of Jamie's very close friends and the very first ever recorded conversation to be on The Happy Hour. A couple weeks ago, we had Annie F. Downs, and then last week, we had a very special episode with Winter Pitts. You guys, I cannot believe in just a few short weeks that the Happy Hour is going to be 10 years old. We are so incredibly thankful for all the guests that have come into this space and shared with us how God is working and moving in their life. And of course, we are so thankful for all of our listeners. 10 years of meaningful conversations, the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. None of that would have been possible without listeners like you. If you want to celebrate with us, one of the best ways you can do that is by heading over to wherever you listen to podcasts and leaving us a rating and review. We would love a 5-star rating from you. And sharing that review allows this podcast to be shared with more people. And we want more people hearing the way that God is moving in people's lives. You guys, this week on the Happy Hour, we have Susie Davis. Susie Davis is an author, blogger, speaker, and church founder. She loves her family and ministry. And on today's episode, you will hear Jamie and Susie talk about a topic that we could talk about over and over and over again. You'll hear how we can be unafraid and trust God in this unsafe world. Again, thank you for being on this journey with us. Happy Friday. Enjoy this episode.
Thanks for coming on the Happy Hour with me.
Oh, I'm excited. This is going to be fun.
So wonderful. How's your day so far?
Really good. I got my car cleaned for the first time in like 6 months, so I feel super accomplished.
Are you a car cleaner? Like, do you like clean cars?
I love clean cars, and my dad always had a clean car for me growing up. Like, he just taught me to do that. Uh-huh. And then when I got out on my own, forget it. I mean, yeah. I really wish I had that value in my life, but I feel like it's like this huge effort to get to the car wash or just go do it myself and, you know, water rationing, blah, blah, blah. So my car's dirty all the time.
Yeah. I am the kind of person who will leave stuff in the car all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So then it just builds up. Yes. And then Aaron gets in the car and I can see it. It like, he starts like breaking down to a sweat and he starts moving things and throwing things away. And it's like, I want to just yell, kids, hurry. He's going to throw all your stuff away. He hates it.
Yeah. Will doesn't really dig it either. He has a Jeep, so has the doors off all the time. So nothing's ever in his car. So he doesn't understand why I have like bags in the very back of my CRV. It's a small closet.
He doesn't have four kids with him all the time either.
There you go.
Aaron has a Jeep too. I didn't know your husband had a Jeep as well.
Yeah, I think that's a, you know, I don't know if it's an Austin thing or a guy thing, but Will loves his.
So does Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
It's like his thing.
Yeah.
He loves it.
It's a sign of manliness.
I guess.
I don't know. Sportiness or something.
I like it as well. But sometimes in the summer, I'm like, let's just take my car. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's just hot.
It's really hot. It is. It's fun when it's like 65 and...
Yeah, the 4 days in the spring and 4 days in the fall. It's awesome.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Susie, you're here in Austin with me as well. And I want to tell everybody how we first met because I remember when we first met. I don't know if you do or not.
I'm thinking I do, but tell me
the
story.
We'll see if it's the same. I think everyone, if you've listened to my show, all the shows or know anything about me, you know, I was in radio for like 4 months, 6 months, whatever. But when I first got my job, like literally, like maybe the first or second week, there was some kind of radio award show night. And my co-host on the show was like, you need to come with me. So I'm like, okay. So I went and you were there.
Okay. Well, where were we? I don't even know.
I don't know. Somewhere downtown at a hotel.
Right. Oh, I'm having a memory.
But I don't even think you were even working at the radio. I know you weren't.
I wasn't?
I don't think so.
Why would I have shown up? That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Maybe you were.
Yeah, I must have been.
This was in 2000 and my kids came home in 2010. 2011 or 12. 11, I think.
Yeah, I don't go to extraneous radio presentations at hotels. I can't imagine, but maybe I did. Maybe
a friend of yours was winning or something.
Maybe.
I really think I remember that because I was so nervous and I did not know what to wear and I was completely underdressed. Oh my gosh. I just remember feeling like this is the worst. You know, I don't know anyone. I'm new in this industry and I show up completely underdressed.
No, not it. How could you be underdressed?
No, I promise. It was weird. And so, but I remember I met you and you were just so nice to me and welcoming. And I thought, okay, I can do this.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah.
I'm really glad I was friendly and fabulous.
Oh, so tell everyone. Okay, so I already introduced you, but you're an author, pastor's wife, mom,
right.
Speaker, but you worked in radio.
I did. I actually, that was a funny story. I went in, someone was interviewing me about a book I'd written, and I went in, and the host was there, Gary Walsh, and then it was... Randy Phillips was interviewing me. He brought me into the studio to talk about loving your man without losing your mind. And I, you know, had the interview. We had fun. We laughed a lot. And I left. And Gary, the program director in the morning show, has called me and was like, hey, would you consider being on the morning show? Because the co-host that I was with is moving to a different station. And I was like, I don't think you understand. Like, I don't understand how to do that. And I'll say the wrong things. Uh-huh. And he was like, yeah, I know. It'll be great. And I was like, well, okay then. And so that was really how I rolled into it.
That's hilarious. You and I kind of got in radio the same way, like accidentally.
Totally accidentally. Uh-huh. And I loved it. Did you love it?
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
I had no idea that I would love it. And my situation was different than yours, whereas things at the station I was working at were not as well. I didn't know this going in. And everything kind of fell apart shortly mm-hmm. after I left. Not because I left, oh my gosh, because it was on its way down. But the people I worked with were great. And they now have a new show and are doing fabulous. But it was my first time. And I really thought, I love this.
Yeah.
How long did you do it?
I was on air for almost 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And old were your kids? Because that was what was so hard for me.
Well, okay. My children were like, I'm trying to think. My youngest was maybe a freshman.
Okay.
And then my next daughter was probably a junior or senior in high school. And then my son was already in college. So it was a big difference. I mean, for me, that was kind of the clincher is that my kids were older and Will stayed home until our youngest went to school uh-huh. with his sister. Because that morning time with my kids is just, it was so important. And when you're on the radio on a morning show, you're out the door at like 6:15 or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
So for us, it was good because he was able to be home with them
mm-hmm.
instead of them just kind of walking out the door by themselves, which...
Yeah.
It's probably fine, but felt weird at the time.
Yeah, I can see with older kids, it would have been so much easier for me because I was leaving. I left the house at 5:15.
Yeah.
And I was leaving only one of my kids was in school, I think. And the others, like, wow. I had babysitters, and Aaron travels a lot. So then we'd have people showing up at my house. I mean, it was so difficult with little kids. Yeah. I can see if my kids were in high school, they could get themselves up and drive themselves to school. It's a totally different ballgame. Yeah, yeah, it was hard.
Don't you think that's just the constant struggle of motherhood is assessing your opportunities and looking at kind of the dreams that you have for your life personally, and then, you know, integrating that into who you are as a mother and a wife. That's really hard.
It's so difficult. And in fact, I mentioned I was only in radio for like 4 months because it was such a hard transition for me. And my kids from Haiti had only been home about 2 years. Yeah. And so we were still struggling at home with a lot of stuff. But you know what? I remember telling Aaron one time when I was really feeling this tension, like, I think I need to leave this job. It was the first time I'd worked outside of the home since we had kids on a regular, like working outside on a regular basis. And I remember telling him just through tears, like, it's not fair. I finally found something that I love and it makes me feel alive. And I have to choose between my family and what makes me feel so alive. And on one hand, my family makes me feel alive as well. I mean, don't get me wrong about that. But it was such a hard decision, and I don't regret it one bit. It was the best thing in that for that. It was the best thing in our season. But I remember feeling like, this isn't fair.
Right.
Aaron doesn't have to make this choice. Why do I have to make this? You know, that's what, I remember feeling that tension, and I've worked through that, and I'm completely fine with it. But I remember that feeling. I'm just like, this isn't fair.
Yeah. And I, you know, I think that I remember all, okay. So growing up, I just wanted to be a mom. All I wanted to do was be a mom. Mm-hmm. And so then, Will and I got married. We were high school sweethearts, got married and had kids pretty early. And I remember I had babies at home. My oldest, Will, was probably like 4 years old and Emily was one, and feeling like I would never, ever, do those things God planted in my heart. Like, I would never get to do those big God dreams mm-hmm. that I knew he put there.
Yeah.
And feeling that same kind of struggle. Someone once used the analogy of it's like there's a beach ball in the ocean, and you know, like the beach ball represents your dream, and you keep trying to push it down, and then it pops up someplace else. And just this tension of trying to manage the passion and the yeah. dream in your heart and this really big, important job and fulfilling job of mothering.
Right.
And everything that comes with it that you don't know is coming when you're a new mom. You don't know how exhausted you'll be and how it just taxes you physically. Yeah. And then when they get a little older, you're taxed emotionally yes. by their development.
And spiritually. And then, I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you know what's beautiful? I've thought about this more and more, and I'm rereading Gift from the Sea. By Anne Mara Lindbergh. And it's a really, really good read. I don't know if you've read it, but she wrote the book in the 50s, and she is talking about the same tension of being a mother and she was a writer and having these, you know, these struggles, these internal struggles that are, I think, uniquely female in some ways. Unique to being a mother. But reading her book just made me settle in and realize, and now having children who are young adults, like our youngest is 22, there is time for those dreams. Mm-hmm. And if God, I guess for me, I'm on the backside. I've got 25 years of knowing that it doesn't happen instantaneously, and it might look really different than what I expected,
yeah.
but there's time for those dreams. Mm-hmm. And I think I look at my daughter, Emily, who just got married. She's 25. And I feel like she has so many opportunities that I didn't even have when I was her age mm-hmm. to do it all. No one can. But to embrace mothering wholeheartedly. And then if desired, have these other things like you and I are talking mm-hmm. about that come up that we're able to do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny that we're talking about this. I just said to Aaron this last week, I looked at and after I quit my job, after I quit the radio about a year later, I had almost an opportunity to go back with some different people. And I really wanted to do it. It was a hard decision. And then it just didn't work out. But I told Aaron, I said, I'm so glad I didn't do that. Because I really love what I'm getting to do now with my podcast. Because I feel like God showed me how much I love something. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of got pulled away a little bit and I realized that my family needed me a lot. And then look, I mean, 4 years later, I get to do this.
Yes. I think that's funny, Jamie, because I really think God trains me. Like he gives me these jobs. Like literally, this is funny. Before, I didn't even know how to open a Word doc before I wrote my first book. I'm not joking. And I was working for a friend of mine, Vicki Courtney, who had this ministry. And I will never forget her. She'd already written a book and she was like, okay, Susie, here's how you do it. Like, open it up and here's how you edit. And because someone had asked me for a sample chapter and I was like, I don't even know how to open a Word doc.
Right.
But it's, I felt like God, you know, he gives me these jobs to prepare me for the next thing. And I always think the thing is the thing, you know, like, oh, radio is the thing. Right. And then you find out, no, it's not really the thing. Yeah. You know, it's a journey and I'm going to give you something even better than radio.
Yeah.
I love that.
Which this is better than radio. I don't have to get up at 5 a.m.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Yeah. I felt like I was always so tired. And it's not like, but it's not like I could have gone to bed earlier, but oh no.
No.
I'm still living the same life.
Yeah. Well, you want to live that, you want to live that crazy radio life. Wow.
Well, I'm so glad that I met you because we have now crossed paths several times and it's just a joy to know you and see all that you're doing.
Oh, thanks. And I feel the same about you. Mm-hmm. And it's so fun. We're in Austin.
I know, which is the best city in the world.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but
it is. I know. A friend texted me like just yesterday and she was like, if you had to pick one city to move to in Texas, where would you pick? And I was like, Austin.
Right.
But don't come because everybody's moving here.
Yeah, please.
I read the other day that like 164 people moved to Austin a day.
Well, can't you feel it?
Yes.
It's okay. Crazy. Let's just say that Austin's really too crowded right now. It's not even fun.
And
right,
you've been here your whole life. I mean, so
born and raised.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I've only lived here 7 years, so I'm a newly transported person.
Yeah, Will and I both are born and raised, and it has changed crazy, crazy, crazy. But it still has that fun Austin feeling, which is the reason why people love to visit.
It's why y'all moved away and came back.
Yeah, we were just gone for 3 years, seminary. And Fort Worth was a cute, fun place to live, but there's nothing like Austin.
No. Okay, so Susie, I read your newest book. This summer. So you have a new book out called Unafraid.
Right.
Trusting God in an Unsafe World. Mm-hmm. And I think I texted you this, that Aaron calls me, what does he say? He says I have, what does he say? Worst case scenario disease, WCSD. He's because I always will imagine the worst case thing happening.
Yeah.
And it is something that's kind of laughable, but I definitely, God has definitely grown me in it, but I definitely still feel the tension in my soul. And so, for example, we'll be in a movie theater enjoying our time, and I will all of a sudden start wondering if someone's going to come in here and do something awful like we've seen in the news. And I try and fight it and fight it and fight it. And sometimes I fight it well, and sometimes I literally don't even know what the movie's about because my soul is so at unrest and I can't fight it. So reading your book was so good for me. And I read it on a boat all summer. We were on a boat for a week with my kids and I'm a worrier on the boat. So it was so ironic that I was reading this book while my children were, you know, doing crazy things on boats, but it was good for me.
If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own. You guys, in January of 2024, I made a commitment to myself. I wanted to get stronger, which meant I needed to get in the gym, which means I needed to move my body in different ways. You guys know I love to walk. Well, it's spring, and spring is the best time for us to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, to tap into your power, and build towards your summer you. I love my Peloton. It accommodates to my schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. I can choose a 30-minute class. I can choose a 45-minute class. If you only have 5 minutes, there's literally a class to get you moving your body in 5 minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and every mood. There are classes if you want to hear country music, if you want to hear rock, if you want to go back to the 80s. If you can't run, take a walking class. Need some grounding? Try yoga. If you want to level up, go for their Pilates or HIIT workouts. Here's what I love is that you can move at your own pace. And that is what I'm learning that my body needs right now. It needs to move at its own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take all the guesswork out of working out. You guys, we think about so many things during the day. Let's take the guesswork out. Let's jump right in and let's keep our fitness journey fresh every single day. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. I personally love a good 45-minute hip-hop class. It gets me moving. It gets me excited. It's my favorite genre of music. Just ask my kids. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com.
Yeah, I call myself a former fear, and I still feel the tension. I mean, my kids, so my 22-year-old and my husband are hiking right now in Colorado doing the 14ers, a few of them. Uh-huh. And if I let myself,
yeah,
I could totally try to hypermanage their trip. Mm-hmm. And, or I could just totally not enjoy my time alone.
Yeah.
And, just because God is such a good father to me, because he took such a good long time teaching me, how to be free. I'm able to like go, oh, I'm so glad Will and Sarah up there having some good time together, you know, and I'm so grateful that I'm sitting here watching yellow finches flood the backyard. Yeah. And my house is quiet, but it was a long, hard battle for me. I think that, you know, in a nutshell, the enemy looks for a stronghold. And for me, I was always a sensitive kid, a creative kid. And then I heard about Jesus at 12. And then at 14, I witnessed a murder in my high school or my junior high, which you read about.
Yeah.
And, my neighbor and a classmate, someone who was not scary at all to me. There was no warning. And this was way before school shootings.
When I read this, I'm like, I never knew this about Susie. And we're not giving anything away. It's on the first page.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like thinking, this is way before Columbine.
Oh,
I mean, that's the first school shooting I can remember. Yeah. And unfortunately, we could list off several now. But I literally read it and was just like, oh, my gosh. I cannot imagine what – I mean, you were young.
Yeah, I was 14.
14, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that fear, you know, really found a place. The weird part about fear is that you start trusting fear to keep you safe. You think if you are doing, you know, like you're sitting in the theater and doing worst case scenarios and looking for exits, that that's actually going to keep you safe.
Right. You feel as though you have control.
You think you have
you
control.
Think you do because
which is a false. Big fat
yes.
God joke.
Like, yeah, exactly.
That's just like the funniest thing in
right.
life.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's what I started feeling like, yeah, that God had let me down and I, you know, I was hurt by it but I still respected and loved him and I was a little bit fearful, of him in a, you know, reverent way. But I was very aware that the world was an unsafe place.
Yeah.
And so it was my job to take care of myself, which becomes a very big job very quick because there's just so much crap. I'm not allowed to say that on your show.
I said a bad word once. And so, yes, you can say
it's
crap.
It's a kind of a mediocre bad word in my world.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's just a lot of stuff in the world. And so you think that you can somehow protect. And you know, I was having panic attacks mm-hmm. at 16. I didn't know there were panic attacks. And then I had an eating disorder, which was my attempt to control the world through food, and which is weird. It doesn't even make sense. But if you're a fearer, you get it,
yeah.
you know, because fear infects your life in weird ways. Mm-hmm. You become a freak and you don't think you're a freak. You think you're safe. But then when I had kids, Jamie.
Oh, I can't imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, dear God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to take care of my baby as well as myself.
Yeah.
And that's when I went into hyperdrive.
Yeah. And I think just thinking out loud through this about what hearing your struggle and some of the things that were a result of that with the eating and all that kind of stuff, it makes me think that when someone is so fearful, it is a lot about control.
Yes.
If I can control the scenario, if I can control that my kids will always be taken care of, if I can control that my husband will never leave me,
yeah.
all of those control things. And then you feel like, well, then I don't have anything to fear because I'm in control and I would never choose for something bad to happen.
Well, it's funny. What happens is it becomes super legalistic and you start thinking if you follow all the rules, then nothing bad will happen.
Yeah.
And then you get some sense of, which is weird, but you get pride over the fact that you're managing things well.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't realize that you're a drill sergeant with your children, you know, and that you're a freak and a weirdo. And because you think that you're doing the right thing and you're being a good and caring person by being this super freak.
Right.
But you have no joy. You have no peace. You just have a lot of stomach aches and migraines and you can't sleep at night or sit in a movie theater and enjoy, you know, and I get it because, you know, it's unfortunately, there's just a lot of violent things happening in the world. Although I don't think we live in a more violent time at all. I mean, historically, Jamie, we live in we're very pampered in the United States.
Right.
We have a huge bubble around our lives and our kids' lives.
Yeah.
And yet we're like more stressed out than our grandparents were.
Yeah. It's true. When you expect, even in this day and age, not even looking like how the world has been in, you know, previous centuries, even this day and age around the world, our children are safer.
Oh, gosh.
Than they are. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we have a warped sense of safety.
We have a warped
sense of what the world's supposed to look like. And then we're trying to hypermanage it and tell God that he's not really up to the task, you know?
Yeah. I remember, and like I said, I mean, Aaron was traveling for everyone when we had little kids, and God has just been so gracious to grow me so far in this. I remember I had a girlfriend, my friend Angela. She wrote a blog post one time, and I've heard her say this, and it stuck with me forever. She said, take the worst thing, you know, like the worst thing, like one of my kids getting cancer and sick and then eventually dying. That'd be an awful thing to happen, right?
Yeah.
But she said, take that and go all the way to the end. Take it to the extreme. My kid dies. What is still true about God? And I remember thinking that, and I was like, that was so reassuring for me because I'm like, even if this happens, it doesn't change anything about God. Nothing.
Yeah.
And that actually has been really good for me because it makes me realize that no, even if those things happen, I can still trust him because it doesn't change his character what happens.
Yeah. And I think that it's true. It is true. But when you're a fear, you're just like, it takes a lot of processing to figure out. And the worst thing someone can say to you is just don't be afraid. My husband used to say it all the time. Just stop being a freak. Don't be afraid.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Jesus can say that to me, but not you, please. Yeah. You know, I'll hear it from God, but not from my husband. But it's kind of looking at, I think for me, for a long time, I just tried to push down what happened. And instead of pushing down, you know, what happened, God needed to heal it, which is a painful process.
So you talk about witnessing the shooting when you were 14. And
that
is what created what was probably already in you, this fear and trying to manage that forever. And you say you call yourself that you are a former fear. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I'm a former fear.
Okay, so like when did you feel like that transition took place?
Well, the starting point was when I got post-traumatic stress disorder when I was like in my mid-20s.
And you had children?
Oh, yeah. I had two kids at the time and literally felt like my brain was breaking apart. Mm-hmm. I really felt like I was having a massive breakdown and I would never be normal again. Mm-hmm. And God flooded over my life a verse, and it's Psalm 22:3, and it's David. He's crying out to God in verse 1 and 2, and he says, "You know what, God, I cry out to you and you don't hear me. You don't answer my prayers," which is really what I felt like was kind of a decade of my life. Like, 'cause I was crying out for God to make the world a safe place. Mm-hmm. And then in verse 3, he says, "Yet you are holy." And, that's really what had to happen for me, is just this concept of agreeing with God that he's holy, even though a bad thing happened. I became a freak because of it. You know, I felt like I, you know, looking back now, I lost a lot of joy that decade that I was afraid. Mm-hmm. I just did.
Yeah.
And gratefully, God healed me before I totally infected my children.
Well, that was what I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah.
When do you think, are your kids old enough to remember pre-transformation and post of like God changing you and that?
My oldest, my son is.
Okay.
That healing process started when he was about 5. And okay. So he had a good 4 or 5 years of me being hyper diligent, vigilant mommy, uh-huh. You know? And then, you know, it's like God started breaking the fear off, but I had patterns of anxiety and fear. So like they were
so
regimented.
In you.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh. Mm-hmm. It took, he flushed out my mind, but it took a while for me to start recognizing how widespread the fear issue was. And so, you know, I would say that, so Will was probably in kindergarten. You know, I would say for the next couple, 4 years, mm-hmm. I was tons better.
Yeah.
Because I recognized and I confessed. Confession is liberty. It's agreeing with God about what's going on. And
so
I confess.
So when you would feel this coming up in your soul, you would confess that you were not trusting God?
Oh gosh, yeah. And yeah. I would say, and I would speak truth over it. I would mm-hmm. say it a million times. Like if I was doing the whole sitting in a theater, that fear starts uh-huh. whispering in your ear, I would say, "Yeah, you are holy." Yeah. I would say it out loud. And or when the invasive, like weird, freakish things come up, like you're just sitting there enjoying the weather, and then all of a sudden you have this image or this thought that something bad is happening to one of your children. Mm-hmm. And you have no evidence that anything at all is going on, but yeah. you just have, it's like impending doom.
Right. You're always waiting for the shoe to fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I do is just literally say no out loud. I'm like, no. Because what I realize is I used to think those were like little what if signals, like, oh my gosh, what if this is really happening right now?
Yeah.
And now what I realize they are is they're whispers from the enemy. They're just, it's exactly what he did with Eve in Genesis. Mm-hmm. He made a suggestion, a subtle suggestion. Hey, maybe God's holding out on you. Uh-huh. And then she goes, yeah, I think he is.
Yeah.
And that's how subtle it is with the fear that the enemy whispers
yeah.
to us.
Yeah.
He goes, oh my gosh, what if something's happening to your daughter right now?
Yeah.
And then this horrible, your worst idea comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you go, and then if you cave and collapse into that, you're just on the way. Mm. I mean, to becoming a freak. And so what I do is say no out loud if I have to. Just no, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. That's stupid. And then speak scripture over it that's yeah. specific to the instance that's happening.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's so beautiful and I'm going to remember that forever. But when you talk about the years that you were changing, your son was probably 9 or something. What would you say if someone's listening and they're like, I understand everything Susie's saying. I feel this way. I feel this fear about my kids. I feel like I have to control them so that I know that they're okay. Mm-hmm. What would you say to them? I mean, you just explained like how you fight that, but how did that look different? Like, give me an example of how something was different when you're parenting a 5-year-old out of fear or you're parenting them without having to worry about that and trusting God.
Okay. So are you talking about from my perspective
yeah, uh-huh.
with a child?
Yeah,
okay.
For
mine. Okay. So I would say it's, you know, letting your child go to someone's house.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you feel really good. You have a good feeling about this family. You know that they're, you know, you've never heard anything right. to give you any reason to uh-huh. not think this family is a great family. And as the days getting, the play dates getting closer, you just start like riding the brakes. Like you don't even, it's like I said, it's just almost a whisper. It's like a,
yeah.
what if you allow them to go and then you're hyperventilating.
You have no reason to think any of this. Yeah.
Nothing. And yeah. this is the thing I've learned in retrospect. God doesn't warn us by scaring us.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't warn us by scaring us. I have the gift of discernment, and I've had discernment wash over me in the least expected place, and I've never felt frightened by it.
Hmm.
Fear always terrifies you into action.
Yeah.
It makes you think you've got to, you start, your breathing gets shallow. You have a physiological response. When you have those thoughts, your body starts reacting to it, and you get bathed in stress. And then you start reacting out of stress. It's like you become an animal. It's almost impulsive. You tighten up. Your face looks different. You're looking at your child. You're mentally planning how you're going to pull out of this play date. Right. You know, I mean, you're like going through, you're racing yeah. on the inside, and your child's just sitting there, and you know, you're tightening the grip on the child's arm. That is fear.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you're not big enough to go through with the play date, then fine, break the play date. But by all means, be honest with your child in a way that's appropriate.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, that's something else. Like we're just really big proponents of being honest with our kids. And I think you can be honest with a five-year-old and say, you know what? Mommy deals with a lot of weird fear, and that's not from God. And you know what? We're going to pray about this because God can heal me.
Hmm.
And recognizing that when you let fear drive a decision like that and you pull out of the play date, that there's a repercussion for your child.
Right, right.
You know, so you have to weigh it. Like, do you want to be the freak
uh-huh.
or do you want to live in faith?
Yeah.
Faith is walking on top of God's promises. That's what my 22-year-old said, or my 25-year-old said this week. It's walking on top of them. You know, we always talk about God's promises and faith and all these big hoo-ha, but I mean, it's like putting your whole body on top of what God said and believing that He can bear the weight of you yeah. and your life mm-hmm. and your kids.
Yeah. It's good, Shauna. I just said Shauna. You know why I said Shauna? Because I'm reading the front of your cover. It says, Susie takes you by the hand and leads you to a better way of living.
I'm thrilled that you call me Shauna.
Well, it's because I was reading that. I really do know your name. That's awkward. But I was reading the front of your cover and it says that.
You're right. She endorsed it, which was lovely.
Which is lovely. Yes. But it does. She said, Susie takes you by the hand and leads you to a better way of living. And I did appreciate that. This is the only book I've read of yours. But I did feel as though I was walking with you through this.
Yeah, I think this was different than the other books I've written. And, you know, every book is kind of an experience and a journey. I didn't know what I was doing when I wrote the first book. It's a joke. I mean, it's good. It's good.
Book?
It's called The Time of Your Life.
Okay.
And, but I had no idea what I was doing. Remember, I didn't know how to open a Word
yeah.
doc. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. And someone told me, quote a lot of really smart people to make you look smart.
That's
and I was
hilarious.
Like, so I was like, where's C.S. Lewis, man? I better quote him all the time. Like, where is he?
You got Lewis and Spurgeon and all kinds yes, of stuff.
Everybody but me. But this book is very, it's the book I waited to write all my life. Like I always wanted to write a book. I always felt like God would mm-hmm. let me. And
this did feel like a journey with you.
Yeah,
especially
and it's very
started
it's,
out.
It's with, chronological. This yeah, story uh-huh. is I kind of walk through, and it was the hardest one to write. It was so
oh, I bet
hard
to write. Going back, it's like you're going back into the mess that you've already like kind of closed the door on, and then you've got to go sit through it again.
Yeah, and it's just a reminder of. I mean, it was beautiful though, because like I remembered things. Or I saw for the first time things that I was like, oh my gosh, God did it again. Like he left me another love note and yeah. I never saw it till yeah. now. He's just good. And it's just like a really, really good relationship that you get to look at again and again. And God, the nuances and the layers of love from God is just like, you can't get to the end of it. So writing this was definitely a journey in that. And it was chronological. So you kind of see how I was, you know, moving down the line.
Yeah.
Which if you're a fear, it might be helpful because you can maybe see yourself in some of my story.
Well, it was great. So I highly recommend everyone that is listening.
Thank you.
Unafraid is what it's called. And it is a journey and it was really, really good. So thank you for writing it for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with us because I know that was hard.
Oh no.
So
it
hard.
It was good. It was a gift to be able to do it.
Yes. Okay. So I want to talk to you about having grown children.
Yeah.
Because I mean, my oldest is 11 and my youngest is 7. And
wow.
For the first time ever, I will say this, within the past 2 years, for the first time ever, am I really understanding what they say, what they mean when they say it goes by so fast.
Right.
Because when they're little, it seems to go by at a snail's pace. You're like,
yes.
I'm not a good little kid mom. And so the years when I had like a 7-year-old, 2 5-year-olds and a 3-year-old, like those years, I sometimes ask God to remove memories from my children's brains. Like just let them remember like the one time we made cookies or something. Cause it was not a fun time for me.
Just get those pictures out.
Right. And I'm gonna put them all over their room. So that's what they will remember. But what Aaron and I are feeling now with our oldest being 11 and our youngest 7 is like, we're really liking this.
Yes.
And I mean, and there's the 7, sometimes like it's a girl and there's drama involved a lot. And so that I'm sure that's going to get worse, but all that to say, this is fun.
I think that, you know, 0 to 5 to 7, you're just like totally physically exhausted.
Yeah.
And then 11, 12 to like 21, 22, you're just like, it's a different game. It's emotional.
Yeah.
It's very different because the stakes are different. You know, the stakes are a lot higher.
Yes.
And the years you're in right now are just like, I feel like they're breather years in some ways. I mean, not everybody, but I mean, I think that they're pretty independent.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're not driving or dating.
Right. No. So I'm going to cry.
Check and check. Yeah, I know. But it really, you know, I love my people. And like, I see glimpses of my 22-year-old. I see little pieces of her 5-year-old self in her still. But she's so different and she's so much fun. And she's, you know, this human, this person I would choose to be really good friends with if I could.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the fun part. The hard part, Jamie, I'll tell you, and I'm just walking through it, is just, this mothering thing is just, it's very different. It's very different to be a mother-in-law. And I don't know how to do that because I've never done it. I've only been doing it for like a year and a half.
Well, there's no how-to books out there about
this. No. And I'm like, someone write me a book so that I can be, but isn't that what we do in every phase? Like we just want someone to tell us 1, 2, 3, how to do it.
Yes.
And the truth is it's really just
one foot in front of the other, figuring it out as you go. And it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
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 Well, I do get a sense from following you on social media that you do love your people.
I love them.
And I love that about you. And I need you to tell me how to make sure that that happens, that my people will love me and I will love my people and we'll have Sunday dinner. Like, I need this to happen.
I think, you know, one thing I do think is, I think that you can't be a fearful mother and have a good relationship. Because, and so for me, that was such a huge piece of my curriculum with God, is like letting my kids be, you know, letting them be. And, you know, that was a huge thing, is just not trying to hyper control them. And I'm so grateful I had a son first, because he, ever the man at like 12 years old, he kind of put his metaphorical hand in my face and was like, "Mom, get back." And it was appropriate. I mean, and it was, and not that I wasn't controlling then, but I was trying to mother him. Mm-hmm. And,
well, mother him in maybe the same way he needed mothering when he was 5.
Yeah. It's hard to transition.
Yeah.
It looks different. Like, you know, I wanted to make him breakfast every morning and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, he didn't talk in the morning. Like he was like, don't talk to me. Just don't. So it was really, Will trained me well. I always tell him that. I'm always like, oh, I'm so glad you're my first, because you just trained me how to like back off a little bit and let people breathe, you know, don't hug me so tight. But that's important, I think, is letting him be. And, you know, your kids, we're ministry families. And another piece is for me was like, I was fiercely protective of my kids not over volunteering at church. And when they got to be teenagers, like if they want to go to church with their friends, I was like, by all means, go. Like, don't feel like, and not worry about, I was like, if someone was like, where's Will or where's Emily? I'm like, oh, they're with their friends at their church or whatever. Like, but my whole goal was for my kids to love God with all their heart, all their life.
Yeah.
And to love the church. Because I feel like that's important. And so in order to love God and love his church, you have to be really careful. And I don't think this is just a ministry, like a pastor's wife. I think it's anybody who's like really loves God and loves the church and volunteers and gets all into that. You know, you have to let your kids, they have to breathe.
Yeah, and kind of find their own way too.
Yeah. That's why you let them go to church with their friends or let them go to Young Life or do Campus Crusade or sometimes sleep in Sunday morning.
Yeah.
You know, and I would step in between someone saying something to them about that.
Yeah.
I was like, no. Because our big goal is not to please you or them to be at your small group meeting or whatever. Our big goal is like when they're 90, we want them loving God and loving the church.
Yeah.
So for me, that was huge too. But my dad taught me something really important. Our whole big old extended family's in town, and we're a tight group. Like we can be, we see each other a lot. But he's been really good about like, he's like, everybody needs to decide what's good for them. Kind of an open policy. Like if we all have dinner and some people can't make it, that's okay.
Yeah.
We're not going to have a lot of expectations like that because I think that's what makes people not want to come.
So is that hard for you, or is that an easy thing for you to kind of hold everything open-handed?
Making my cat happy is my number one priority, and Fresh Step Out Stretch Litter helps me do just that. Meet Mr. Mittens. Mitty, for short. Mitty is happiest when his litter box is clean and fresh, and Fresh Step Out Stretch is amazing at absorbing waste and odor. We sure have found our common ground, haven't we? Happy cat, happy life. Find Fresh Step Out Stretch at a store near you. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
It's hard because, and as they get more independent and they get married, you want them more. You don't want them less.
Yeah.
But you see them less. And so Christmas and Thanksgiving or whatever become kind of like, you could get freaked out about not being with them. But you have to talk yourself down and go, I'm not going to be that. I'm going to be the person they want to be around.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's all going to get when you start getting grandbabies.
I know. Okay. So I have a real dilemma. I mean, I'm really, really upset that I don't know what my grandma name's going
to
be.
Wait, let's stop for just a second. Are you close to having grandbabies?
No.
Okay.
This is something else I can't do, like talk about it
right to
them, because they know my girls, and one of them's not even married. And I'm already talking about my grandma name. You know, like, she's dating someone. So like, you know, in my mind, they're practically married, but I'm like, yeah, this grandma name, I think I'm, you know, I could be, I just am really looking forward to that place, which I didn't think I would be. And I just am. I just cannot wait to get my hands on a child again. I mean,
do you have choices? Do you need us to weigh in here?
Oh, I totally do. No. Okay. So my kids, whenever they had their friends always called me Mama Suze. And I'm like, oh, that's it. That's my grandma.
Yeah.
And my daughter was like, no, you cannot be Mama anything. You have to be something different. And I was like,
Granny Suze.
Yeah. I was like, Emily, you're breaking my heart. She's like, Mom. So we're going down the line. You know, we've done, My sister is Linda, and her kids, her grandkids call her Lulu, which is darling. So we thought about Susu, Suzu, or Zuzu, or, and, you know, my kids, of course, are like, no, the kid's going to decide, and they're going to call you Glop Glop, or whatever.
Whatever comes out of their mouth.
And I'm like, no, I'm programming this.
We'll tell them what to say.
We'll tell that. I will teach that child to say it.
I always love the people who have the, like, out of the, like, normal names, like Suzu or whatever. Like, that's always fun to me. And I remember growing up and I would hear my friends call their grandparents that, I always think, that's so cool. But then I remember as a kid, I always thought, but they can't ever find cards with that on it. And that's funny that I thought that as a kid. Now, you can't find the t-shirt that says my best Suzu or whatever. That wouldn't matter to me now. But I remember thinking that as a kid.
Yeah, you're like, wait, there's no Hallmark card.
There's no Hallmark card for you.
It doesn't
there's
even
no
work.
Frame, nothing.
Yeah. No. No. Oh. I'm y'all can be in deep prayer about my grandma.
Do all of your kids live here in Austin?
No, two are here in Austin and one and then Will and his wife Amy live in Denver.
Oh, so they're away.
They're away.
And okay.
But Colorado is a good state.
Yeah,
we don't mind that. That's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was that hard when your baby moved off?
Well, that was our son.
Yeah.
So he had already trained me. Remember when he was 12?
That's right. He's like, yeah. I'm good.
Because I'm good, Mom.
Yeah.
But the greatest thing about that is his sweet wife, Amy, just is adorable and loves our family. And she's just precious. So it's really good.
Okay. I need to ask you this though. And
yeah.
don't say anything that would incriminate any of your kids or anything, but I have this fear that my kids are going to start dating. And what if I don't like who they're dating? I mean, what do I do? Do I just sit back and take it? Do I tell them? Did you ever have to cross this bridge?
You know, it's funny. My kids didn't do a lot of dating around. And then when they finally ended up, and I don't know why, because I dated like crazy when I was in high school and so did my husband before we got married, obviously. But they didn't do a lot of crazy dating.
Okay, so what did you do? Because I don't want my kids to do crazy dating either. Tell us, Susie.
I'm going to give you 10 steps.
Too. Yes, and then write a book.
Follow, and I'm going to write a book, and it's going to be a bestseller because you're going to follow these, and I'm going to promise you that your kid will never date a freak.
But if all of your kids didn't date around, there's something happening at the Davis house.
You know what? I mean, wouldn't that be great if we could just figure out how to work it so that...
I'm always afraid I'm not going to like girlfriends. And I think that might just be issue as well.
Yeah. Where's that coming from?
I think it's a control thing.
Why?
I don't know.
But like, okay, so you said you had some fear issues.
Uh-huh.
Why? Like, where's that starting? I guess is what I want to ask.
Like, where's that? Going to like their girlfriends?
Yeah. What? Why in the world would you even think that? Why wouldn't you be thinking,
isn't that a bad thought?
Kid is the most awesome thing and he's going to bring home the most darling girl I've ever seen.
Okay, I'm going to change my thinking right now.
Yeah, why are you fearing that?
Why am I thinking my kids are going to have bad girlfriends? They're great kids.
Your sons. Your sons are going to have bad girlfriends.
Maybe I remember when I was a teenager.
Yeah?
And maybe...
Come on now, unpack it.
I wouldn't want my kids to date me. Maybe that's what it is.
Were you a wild girl?
Oh, I was crazy, yeah.
Oh, well, Jamie, that probably is what it is.
I mean, I always said I wasn't crazy. Like, I knew people, you know how you are. You're like, well, at least I don't do that. I mean, I was like, I never did drugs. That was like my saving grace all the time. I'm like, well, I don't do drugs. But I think I wasn't that I was, maybe I was crazy. I didn't know Jesus either. And so.
And look how you turned out.
I know.
You're awesome.
I got a great man. I know.
You know what? There might be a piece of that in your history.
I know. Thank you for this counseling session right now. digging it out. Oh, but you know what? It's so funny. I need to think more about this, and I don't want to talk anymore about it because I'm not. But we had a friend once who was like younger, a lot younger than us in dating. And for no reason at all, I didn't like his girlfriend. Why? What's wrong with Aaron? Used to look at me and be like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't think she's good enough for him. And I have no idea why I thought that.
That's interesting.
Look at me. I know.
We should talk later.
off the
not on the
time.
Podcast. Yeah. Maybe at happy hour, real happy hour. Real happy we can hour. Talk about this. Yes. Yeah.
No, but you know what? That was good, Susie. I am going to, from now on, be like, I'm going to raise great boys that are going to pick great girls.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you be thinking that? Like,
yes.
The odds are in your favor.
Yes.
Y'all are cool people. You love Jesus. Yeah. You live in Austin. I mean, they're just, the odds are in your favor that
okay.
All your kids are going to find awesome kids.
I'm switching my thinking right now.
Yeah, I should.
That
That's
is so
good.
True. I have no idea why I've never thought that, what you just said. This is a monumental day for me right now. I'm just letting you know. I'm going to send my son. He's not here with me this week. I'm going to call and be like, you know what? I trust you. You're going to pick a great girl.
Okay.
And he's going to be like, Mom, yeah. I'm 11.
No, and that is part of it. Actually, that's what will, you know, I think that's what boys do too when they decide. So is he still kind of a mama's boy or?
He's not necessarily a mama's boy by any means, but he definitely is not like, I mean, he's 11 for the love. I mean, he's a little kid.
Yeah. So he hasn't stood up and said, I'm a man, please back down.
No, not yet.
Yeah, it would be really great for you to hash this out before that happens.
Before I go into a corner and start crying.
Well, no, I'm just saying because, like, I think that it would be such an empowering thing for him as a young man to feel like you already know that he's going to pick somebody fabulous who loves Jesus and whose heart's in the right place. Like,
yeah,
that's huge for him to know that before he's even thinking girls are great.
Yeah. You know, that is empowering because when you think about it, anytime you go out and do something, if someone automatically thinks that you're going to screw up.
Yeah, it can become a self-imposing
exactly.
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, this is good.
Yeah.
This is really good. So your youngest daughter is not married and she's at UT, right?
She's at UT and she's dating this awesome, great guy that we just adore.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's a junior or she's going to be a senior, actually.
Did you go to Texas?
For a couple months.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to like 17 schools. Not really. I went to like 6.
I went to 3.
Oh, We should talk.
I know. It took me like 6.5 years to graduate.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And then like 196 hours or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm still paying school loans. Yeah. Fun times.
Love it.
Yeah. It took Aaron 7.
Okay.
And he only went to one school. That'll tell you something right there.
Oh, wow. So he was having fun.
Yeah. And switching majors and
yeah.
Yeah. And he went full time for 7 years.
Wow. Bless his parents.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Oh, did Will, your husband, go to Texas?
No, Baylor.
Okay. Baylor.
Yeah. And then he went to, got his, you know, doctorate and all that. So he was in school for a very long time. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. I always tell my kids, I'm like, you can go to college wherever you want, but deep inside, I hope they stay in Texas somewhere, you know.
Yeah, no, I do. I understand that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, what do you have planned for the rest of the summer?
Colorado.
Nice.
We have a cabin up there, a family cabin. And then we'll do a big Frio trip with my side of the family in Lakey, Texas, which we've been doing since we were little kids.
Aww.
I know, really fun. Just small town Texas. Mm-hmm. That's a great place that has
do
not
you,
been
like,
disrupted.
Rent a cabin or what do you do?
Yeah, there's like... We have so many people, we rent like 7 cabins.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just hang out on the river.
Yeah. Play cards.
Yeah.
Eat, talk, just, you know, thrift, go antiquing.
Sounds fabulous. Mm-hmm.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
And then my niece is getting married and just, you know, that's about it. Just a really fun, kind of laid back summer.
That's great. So wonderful. Well, this has been a great time. I'm glad to talk about your book and I'm glad to figure out how I can love my sons better by trusting them. trusting them with their choice of girlfriends.
I'm so excited for them. I know. And for you. I'm really excited.
I really do. This sounds really dumb, but I really do feel like that 5-minute conversation we just had has like sparked off a light bulb in my brain that I never thought about. So thank you.
Glad. Well, you know, we all live and learn, right?
I know. I'm going to call Aaron and be like, I trust the kids. And he's like, what? I'm like, I trust them. They're going to do okay.
That's the greatest.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jamie.
Okay, for real, thanks for joining me on the happy hour. It's been so fun. And you and I need to do a real life happy hour.
I would love to. It'd be my pleasure.
The Happy Hour is produced and hosted by myself, Jamie Ivey, with assistance from Nikki Ogden and Ashley Caldwell. And the show is edited by Jason Talley.
I love my cat, Tiger. And as my best friend, we speak our own language. What's that? You love your litter. He does, because I use Fresh Step Outstretch litter. It absorbs 50% more waste and odor and requires less changing compared to Fresh Step Multicat. Less changing means more time playing. Right, Tiger? That's a yes. Find Fresh Step Outstretch cat litter in the pet aisle. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.